The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Thank you very much, Eamon, and you're welcome back to the program. My next guest says that the pursuit of oil and gas is always about violence and profit. Alex Perry is an investigative journalist who documented a massacre which took place near a French energy company's gas project in Mozambique in 2021. And it took him on a journey around the world, finding out how oil companies make their money. Alex's new book is called Blood Will Flow, The Murderous Business of Oil and Gas. And he joins me now. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you very much for being with us. I see one of the reviews describes the story as gripping and heartbreaking, which I think is particularly apt because it does read like a thriller. But it tells us the story of this news story that I described there from 2021 that most of us, I think, will probably never have heard of. Will you give us a synopsis, if you can, of what happened in Mozambique in 2021?
Yeah, well, I guess the headline is that the book reveals, and it took me several years to do this, that in March 21 in northern Mozambique, there was one of the biggest terror attacks of all time, in fact, second only to 9/11, an ISIS atrocity that resulted in 1,452 dead, including a British construction worker called Philip Moore from Winchester, and 209 women and children abducted. Which is, you know, these comparisons are fairly grim, but that's a deadlier event than anything that happened in 20 years of war in Afghanistan or Iraq or in Syria. Mm-hmm. And yet nobody knows about it. And that is because there was a very determined cover-up by the Mozambican government and by Total Energies, outside whose $50 billion gas project the attack took place. The only reason I'm able to quantify it and give you those figures was because I set up my own NGO, essentially, in northern Mozambique to go counting, because the government and the oil and gas mega giants signally failed to do that, didn't want to find out how mm-hmm. many dead there were. But as you say, I mean, this did briefly hit the headlines. But the reason, I mean, in some ways, you know, why do we care about something on the other side of the planet aside from sort of our common humanity? The reason is that this gas project, 50 billion, it's 1% of all gas supply. Almost every country in the world is involved in this project, whether it's financing it, whether it's buying the gas, whether it's companies are working there, even whether it's as a consumer, whether you're simply a customer of Total Energies. So it's a truly, truly global project. And the book, in a sense, is exploring this industry, which, as you say, has this inexorable connection with violence right from its beginning. And asking why that is, why, you know, how come this industry has behaved so badly? What is this connection to violence? And mm-hmm. I mean, the answer is simply, we've let it be like that because we've let it convince us that it's such an essential industry that it can do what it likes.
And if money is the motivator, the stakes are very high in the oil and gas industry, right? Because of what can be generated from a successful outcome, an exploration outcome.
Well, exactly. I mean, we're talking tens of billions of dollars to be earned. But you've seen in the Iran crisis right now how just the threat of interrupted supply can send the entire global economy into a spiral. That threat is extremely handy if you happen to be the business that can benefit from that threat. So the other thing that's happened in the last 6 weeks is that oil and gas companies have made tens of billions of extra dollars in profit. Every time there is crisis, they benefit. What's kind of fascinating about Total is that the boss of Total, Patrick Pouyanné, says that openly. It is his business model. You know, this is, you know, he gives fireside chats around the world where he says, well, you know, what's happening in the world right now isn't so great, but it's great for us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's very candid about how violence and war is essentially built in to the business.
So how did your interest in this incident in 2021 begin? How did you come across this initially?
Well, I it did briefly hit the headlines. I had been based in Africa for 8 years. I'd done a fair amount of work on oil and gas. I was well aware of this phenomenon known as the resource curse, the sort of paradox of how a country's riches can actually be its ruin because it attracts all sorts of bad actors. But this story I initially got into as a kind of action adventure story, which it remains, as you say. It's a kind of high octane story. But there were a group of contractors, including an Irish guy, actually, Gordon Rattican, who were caught up in the ISIS attack that I described, were holed up at a hotel under siege for 2 days. They had no weapons. They were encircled. They eventually realized that the oil and gas company and the Mozambican army weren't going to come and rescue them, so they had to break out, which they did in a convoy of 17 cars at high speed. The convoy got shot up twice. Gordon and others survived, but about 11 people did not. And that I initially did as a magazine story. What I didn't know, what had happened to the town outside this hotel. And that took years and years to assess. But as I say, in the end, I discovered, you know, more than 1,500 people have been killed. And we're talking indiscriminate violence. The youngest person we had that was killed was 2 months. The oldest was 105. And almost unbelievably vicious. 330 of those dead were beheaded.
And in that town of Palma, what was the motivation for these ISIS militants?
They are like a classic sort of Islamic insurgency. What often starts as an anti-government protest movement, almost anti-exclusion, like the Taliban in Afghanistan started out as a law and order movement, but it rapidly evolves into something much darker. And the group that's meant to be fighting for the people against the government turns around quite quickly and starts killing the people for whom it's meant to be fighting. The guy who ran the insurgency in Mozambique had a particularly sort of medieval bent. He had a real thing for ceremonial beheading. Mm-hmm. And that made this insurgency, I mean, that's what's notable about this insurgency. It was only ever several hundred fighters, but the amount of territory they were able to take and the fear they were able to instill through their tactics was pretty remarkable for such a small force.
Just talking about, you know, this resource curse that you mentioned earlier, and I was reading that part of the book last night where there's this sort of jaded acceptance in parts of Africa, as you describe it, where a resource is discovered, the hope comes, we're going to get employment, we're going to win here, there's going to be a boost for us. And it never really happens, does it?
Well, I mean, yeah, and that goes back to the dynamics of oil and gas, and that feeds into an insurgency like this. The irony here is you discover 1% of all the world's gas. You have all the resources at your disposal to calm an insurgency, you know, because what it takes is sharing the wealth. These insurgencies they are born out of resentment. They're born out of inequality. So all it would take would be a meaningful distribution, a meaningful share to the community in the area. That's precisely what didn't happen. Cabo Delgado, the province where the gas is located, is going to get a 0.41% share of the riches from under their feet. I mean, it's so exclusionary. What that does actually is inflame the local insurgency, which is what happened. Yeah, which is what happens. So the gas project starts getting going in 2010. The insurgency itself doesn't start until 2017. But by 2019, the insurgents are hitting the traffic going in and out of this giant gas plant that's being built in northern Mozambique. And again, in the most vicious and horrendous ways. I mean, they're not just killing people. They're dismembering them and leaving their bodies in the road. You know, it's very clear that the gas plant, for instance, is a target for the insurgents, as you would expect. And yet to this day, I guess because it's the other side of the planet, Total, which runs the gas project, the Mozambican government, sort of claim there is no connection between the insurgency and the gas project, whereas the truth is they're inseparable.
And they've gone back in now, haven't they, Total Energies?
Yeah. I mean, they've... in Total's view of the world, you know, the massacre that I documented didn't really happen. They still talk about a few dozen people. Total didn't lose 55 of its own subcontractors. They have yet to... Well, in fact, they've admitted to one, the British guy, because there's an inquest into that. But they haven't admitted to losing the other 54 of their own people. I discovered a second massacre which took place on their compound, carried out by their security guards, Mozambican soldiers who are on their payroll. That was a smaller death toll, but 250 men were herded into two shipping containers as a reprisal for the ISIS massacre. The army went out and rounded up the same civilian survivors of that massacre, accused them of being ISIS, put them into these shipping containers, held them there for 3 months in 30-degree heat, and only 26 guys came out alive. Total denies that even ever happened and asks me to produce what they call underlying evidence, which I guess means they want me to disinter some bodies. There's an extraordinary sort of never-never land in which Total is living, where oil and gas is great for Mozambique and, you know, of benefit to the local population. There isn't a security problem, and so they've reopened at the beginning of this year, and it's kind of go, go, go. I mean, the irony is they haven't solved any of the problems. They haven't shared any of the wealth. All the rebels need to do is fire a couple of rocket-propelled grenades over the fence, and the project will shut down again.
Mm-hmm. And what is the link between the energy company and the military?
They're partners. I mean, so Total is part of a consortium of which the Mozambican government is also a partner. There are other investors and partners in there as well. But on top of that, Total has employed and pays the Mozambican army to act as its security. So during the time that ISIS was rampaging through this town of Palma, there were 1,000 soldiers stationed on Total's compound, literally, you know, 20 minutes walk away, who didn't leave the compound, who didn't go into town and intervene, who didn't do anything one might expect an army to do, you know, if a nearby town is attacked by rebels. They just stayed there protecting Total's assets. So, I mean, that's another example of these really pernicious dynamics. You know, in the end, by protecting the gas plant, the army leaves the town defenseless.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the result, 1,500 dead.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary story, Alex. And as it says on your book, it's a decade-defining expose of the energy industry. And I mentioned earlier, it is described as gripping and heartbreaking. And I see John Le Carre said it's a book to marvel at and return to again and again. It's out now. It's called Blood Will Flow, The Murderous Business of Oil and Gas by Alex Perry. Alex, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Now,
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.